When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. Verse 15 says, but when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. According to verse 17, this fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, Jesus took what kept me down. Y'all gonna pray with me? Beloved, on this another Lord's Day, I believe that we are emboldened to declare that regardless of the outcome of the day, we are still here by God's grace. Too often Christians are bombarded with images that suggest that things are not only bad, but they are increasingly becoming worse. Deacon Collins, while it is true that we live in a world that has a fair amount of problems that are taking its toll everywhere, Minister West, I still remain optimistic that God knows all about our struggles. Y'all got to come on with me today. Can I get a witness in here? My brothers and my sisters, each week, all over the world, there is someone who stands up in a place designated for the purpose of worship, just to remind those listening that at some point, God will answer prayer. The facts are, unemployment is at an all-time high since the year 1937. And the economic climate of the United States of America, according to the analysts, have suffered in a way that could throw our country back into the Great Depression era. In many cases, we have been impacted by Congress's inability to create job growth. And if someone in our families haven't lost a job, we certainly know someone who's been affected. The horizon doesn't look good for the elderly, the poor, the middle class, the lower class, and various ethnic groups that suffer the most from the fallout of a failed system. Preach, McCall. Allow me to just go there by saying that even the church world is feeling the depletion of funds to make ends meet. I'm preaching up in here. To make ends meet as parishioners are making a conscientious choice based on their own struggle, their own frustrations, and their own survival as to whether or not members will pay their tithes any longer. Come on. I know I'm right about it. Beloved, the countenance of society looks gray and drawn. The sceneries in our communities appears hopeless. The words that we use to encourage one another seem to have no depth. The telltale signs of giving up is pervading our worship experiences. The hardships that come with remaining strong in the Lord are being challenged by the pressures that are surrounding us. We hear faith talk.
Come on.
But at times the weight. I wish I was had a church here today. At times the heaviness of the moment seems to overpower our will to trust that God will show up. Can I get some help up in here? If y'all would be real here at Mount Olive with me for just a little while, sometimes you've had to cry in the midnight hour, trying just to hang in there. You might be here in service, but your mind is adrift because of the ailments that are crippling your life. I hear in the spirit someone asking the ever-present question, Lord, when? This becomes the backdrop for many who started out on fire for the Lord, and at some point, due to people, places, and things, have veered off course. I would have to ask somebody to sit down at that point if I was at St. Paul. My brothers and my sisters, the test of this dispensation has begun to distinguish the real from the fake. The time is now upon us when the Bible shares in the voice of the prophet in John 4:23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Want to know why? For the Father seeks those who will worship Him. I wish I had some help up in here. Beloved, this scripture rings true. As the pressures of survival mount, we who say in spirit, soul, and body, like Jude 1:23 through 25, now unto Him who is able to keep us from falling, help me, Lord, and to present you faultless before the presence of glory with exceeding joy. That's the word. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty. Trying to help somebody. Dominion and power. When? Both now. I don't know about you, but I'm just glad to be alive today. I just wonder who would help me lift Jesus. I only need one body to help me lift Jesus. Sinner, will you help me lift Jesus? If I were you, I'd throw up both my hands and just tell the Lord thank you for one more day. My brothers and my sisters, I believe that the church of the living God has an opportunity to move into a new level of evangelistic, apostolic, and prophetic wave of ministry. In other words, those of us who have been tested by the waters of adversity can make a choice to see God as victor in our lives, or we can see Him as, we can see ourselves as a victim of circumstance. I don't know about you, but I love to praise His name. I believe a shout goes right there. For you see, beloved, you and I have had our shares of life's ups and downs. You know what? Y'all stick a quarter and put it in the meter. It's not on the paper, but I just got to say it. It shouldn't be hard to lift Him up when you said you're a believer. Believers don't have to be encouraged to believe. Believers believe because they believe. I wish I had some help in here. The reason why you're here is because you say you believe. You and I have been able to see time and time again the hands of the Lord as He delivered you and I from one thing after another. Can I just get real? I wear glasses. I got to see your face. I like to know who's talking about me. I've sat in church long enough to know that you got to press sometimes. I've been in church long enough to know that it don't come easy. Not only do you have the forces of evil pressing you, but you're beating your own self up over things that you have no control over. Too often, y'all don't mind if I walk on this, do you? I'm going to do it anyhow. Too often, it's hard for us to move past, watch this, y'all, folk who want to keep us confined. Too often we sit and we wonder if we have it all together. We got to make sure we look right, just in case somebody says something. But aren't you glad today that Jesus took what kept you down? Because as opposed to worrying about your neighbor, the Bible says, and through the artist that wrote it in the song, you ought to get right with God and do it now. My brothers and sisters, time is winding up. And if you have at least one praise left, you ought to be able to at least release the one that's still sitting there. Because when God comes through, He doesn't ask our permission. He doesn't call a board meeting. He's not waiting on the church meeting. When God calls, we've got to answer. But I'm so glad Jesus lifted me when nothing else would help. Love lifted me. I just wonder if there's anybody here today that's no longer afraid to admit that they made some mistakes in life. Is there anybody here who's not just going to stand up and wave your hands because the preacher said so? But you are convinced that had it not been for the Lord on your side, where would you be? Can I get a witness here? Let me back down a little bit. I haven't even gotten to my point yet. That was just introduction. How do I know it says introduction? See, brothers and sisters, deacons, there's a reason for making some noise. There's a reason for shouting unto God. There's a reason why we thank Him. Because there have been situations in our lives that almost drowned us. I wonder if you'll be real today. Truth is, you haven't always been good. Truth is, you haven't always been kind. Truth is, you haven't always dotted every I and crossed every T. Truth is, we've talked out one side of our mouth and also the other. But for God's grace and mercy. So somebody once said, any day above ground. Yeah, but God has once again shown Himself to be a God of love, compassion, and mercy. I don't know about you, but hadn't always been a high praiser. But I found out that we got at least 60 seconds. And in 60 seconds, you ought to be able to have a praise break every now and then. In 60 seconds, you ought to be able to just at least shabak Him once or twice. Because God took what kept you down. Here in this passage, y'all don't get annoyed with me. When I preach, I've been there now 11 years. I preach at home. I preach from my heart. And I don't mind walking when I talk. Here in this passage of Scripture, we see the best of the best, as our attention could not be on anyone greater as an example than that of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus just finished, according to the previous books, His famous Sermon on the Mount. The crowds had pressed Him towards the top of the hill. Jesus delivers a soul-stirring message that transcends all walks of life. Matthew brings us to this point by opening up in chapter 1 by letting us know what the other gospel writers did not report. Matthew gives us an account of Jesus' genealogy. He shares with us the fact that Jesus comes from a varied background. He shares with us the fact that Jesus comes in such a way that He has some folk in His house that other folk didn't want around the table. Matthew puts substance to who Jesus is by letting each of us know that everybody in Jesus' family didn't have it all together. Look at somebody and tell them I'm in good company. That's good news, y'all, because we all have had something in our history that suggests we don't deserve to have nor be where we are, but God. Matthew also shares with us in chapter 2 and 3, as we march to our text, that Jesus didn't just appear, but rather he was born of a virgin, announced by the angels, wrapped in strands of clothes, visited by the magistrates, personalized by his cousin John to make the way, for the king is coming. Matthew brings us to the point where Jesus, having been baptized, is led by the third partner in heaven's ministry called the Holy Spirit to be tested in the wilderness by the devil. Jesus is seen passing each part of the standardized test. I figure maybe I'm speaking too fast. By holding fast to the word of God. Is there anybody here that still trusts that the only word they will ever need that matters is God's word? Now Jesus is beginning his much publicized ministry in chapter 4, and he's calling men and women to walk with him by faith. Y'all, I'm preaching in this house today. I wonder if I can just get somebody once again to just say thank you, Lord, for walking side by side with men and women of faith. According to Matthew, Jesus' sermon opened each time with blessed are. Blessed are was the catchphrase. And it ends with the connotations of his father's delight in those who pursue righteousness. I felt a kick in just now, Phyllis. Jesus speaks about being the salt of the earth. The law. Anger management, acts of adultery, divorce, making vows, taking matters into our own hands, by revenge, loving your enemies, this is Jesus, giving to the poor and needy, prayer and fasting, money and possessions, not to judge others, having an effective prayer life, the golden rule, the narrow gate, a tree and its fruits, true disciples, and having a church built on a solid foundation. These are the topical outlines of his message on that day that has turned the world upside down. In chapters 5 through 7, now we find our Lord moving with a mass audience in the distance. The effects of his voice and the things that he has said immediately caused a cataclysmic response by many who believed on his words. Beloved, it still messes me up when I hear a word that turns my midnight into day. It still makes me shake my head when all that we go through can be changed in a moment's notice just from a word from the Lord. This is true as I hear John speak from the past, as he wrote from John 10 and 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill. I'm preaching up in here. I know I am. And to destroy. But the Lord says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Aren't you glad that troubles don't last always? Is there anyone who's grateful enough to lay aside every sin and weight that so easily besets them, and finally turn away from the things that have separated you from God and humanity? There ought to be at least a witness in the house. Our text today mirrors that of Luke 4, 38 through 41, which picks up some details as a doctor on this profound miracle that takes place in the community where Peter's mother-in-law resides. Do me a favor, y'all. Grab your neighbor by the hand and tell them Jesus is on his way. I'm going to preach like I'm at home now. You need to look at somebody else. They didn't catch it. Turn to somebody else and tell them that all they need to do is hold on. Help is on the way. I'm going to help myself. Hold on. Help is on the way. I got to stay right there. Tell your neighbor, hold on. Help is on the way. Hold on. Help is on the way. Hold on, Phyllis. Help is on the way. He's still a healer. He's still a lifter. Hold on. Pendleton, I'm preaching for you today, son. Jesus is now seen walking in his healing ministry. The Bible shares that he heals a man of leprosy. He sends a word based on faith of a Roman soldier for the officer's sick servant. And in a profound statement, Jesus says he hasn't seen so great a faith, even in his own people, like that of this soldier. Y'all didn't catch that? Let me break it down for you. I haven't seen so great a faith, not even amongst St. Paul, not even amongst community, not even amongst Mount Olive, than this soldier. Y'all didn't catch it? This soldier had enough faith to trust that if I just give a word. Beloved, time and time again, the Bible records people who many felt they shouldn't be on the inside because things that they have done, places they have been, or people that they know. Yet with clarity, we can see that only God can see through to the heart of anyone and declare them competent. There are at least three things, and I know we're ready to go home, that this word tells us. So we can say without hesitation, Jesus took what kept me down. Firstly, Jesus will take what keeps you down because he is anointed to do the work of deliverance. My brothers and my sisters, too often people display the glitz and the glamour of a Hollywood production of ministry, only later to find out that it was all an act. True deliverance ministry comes with having been tested. Like Jesus in the wilderness of time. I wish y'all would help me. Watch this, y'all. All this hocus pocus stuff that we said. Now, let me back this thing up. There are television ministries.
Speak the truth. Come on.
And all we catch is the edited versions. Can I act like I'm at home? We tune in and we watch this. Then when we come to church, we want to have what we just saw. See, they're not going to show you on T.D. Jakes' telecast that they're announcement time. They're not going to show you that they had to go over and reprimand somebody. They're not going to show you in Joyce Meyer's all the other stuff that happens. They show you the cut version. They don't show you the lady that's in the back who's been beat up all night long and couldn't wait just to get to church. Who couldn't wait on the order of service because the praise team came out too late. They're not going to show you somebody who's been crying all night long because that don't fit live TV. But guess what, y'all? We live in a real world. And I can't wait for some of us to get it together. I got to be able to lift him now. Can I get a witness in here? I just need some help. Lord, I stretch my hand to this. Made for TV stuff will mess you up. Because you'll believe that you should always hear that instrument. Because that means if I hear that, it's time to praise. We won't tell you that the melody ought to be in your heart. Can I just use the moment? Just because the announcements didn't fall on the screen, y'all knew there was announcements. What I'm trying to say is that sometimes it don't work like clockwork. But you at least ought to know that Jesus will take. True deliverance of character comes when storms are all around you and your way is blocked by the devil, who shows up to make you throw a punch and you decide to do what Jesus did, and that is quoting the word of God and standing firm on it. Jesus says, while being tempted in the wilderness, that thou shalt worship the Lord your God. Y'all didn't catch that? And to him only. Look, watch this. When he was talking to the devil, he said, you're going to worship your God, not the Lord my God. Thou shalt worship the Lord your God. He even told the devil that you're going to bow your head one day. Church, it's so important to know order. So many people are fooled into believing that if they just show allegiance to leadership, then they are worshiping people. Actually, Jesus demonstrates that while he is just as much God as his Father, he had no problem submitting to his Father's authority in order that the will of God might be accomplished. There are folk, and I didn't. There are people, not here, who believe that if I'm too close to the pastor, somebody might think I'm trying to get favors, when all they're trying to do is serve. Some have motives called ulterior, but most people have a pure heart. But the pure in heart are sometimes crushed in spirit. It don't take all of this praise. Why the music got to be so loud? Why we dancing so much? Well, when Leon's was open, we danced all we wanted. When Sugar Bill's was open, we danced all we wanted. I saw some of y'all at the Peppermint Lounge. You did all you wanted. And now that we're on a new dance floor, you know, they ought to be, somebody ought to have at least one in them. I'm not here to make you laugh. I'm trying to share that Jesus took what kept us down. Everybody can't lay hands on you and you recover. I'm preaching, bro. I know. I'm not cocky. I just know I'm preaching. Everybody can't lay hands on you. Watch this. And you recover. Spirits are transferable. And watch this. And to that end, everyone who prays doesn't have a connection to heaven. If they haven't truly entered into the place where God communicates with his followers, Jesus couldn't possibly heal all the people with so many issues if, in fact, he was not anointed, as described in Luke 4, 18 through 19, which says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me. Watch this, preachers. Y'all got a great pastor. But when you put your message together, put some scriptures in it. We can quote Tillich and all the rest of those guys, but the word. Watch this. It says, he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. That's why I'm preaching deliverance. To preach deliverance to the captives. And watch this, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And here's the best of all, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Somebody ought to put their hands together. Beloved, I'm convinced that if we shall ever be free, there must be a breaking away of things that are keeping us flat on our backs. Here in this text, Peter's mother-in-law has been laying prostrate. She was sick and couldn't get well. Luke says that as Jesus arrived, many who were at the house begged Jesus to heal her. We find that the people around us make the difference in our outcomes. Secondly, Jesus is not only anointed to take away what keeps us down, but he is in tune with the appeal of those who are concerned about our conditions. Praise God, somebody. It's good to know that somebody else is praying for us, that we would get the assistance that we need in order to live the life that God intended for his followers to live. The text is clear that the presence of Jesus changes things. Prior to this moment, the word had reached places that suggest a man was in town who was taking away the health issues of anyone who could get close to him. Crowds had followed him and pursued him and tried to touch him. Now we see that Jesus will make house calls. Today, it's not normative for a doctor to come by your home any longer, let alone visit you in your hospital room. There was a time when they made house calls. Yet Jesus, the Rose of Sharon, Jesus, the bright and morning star, Jesus, the lily of the valley, still makes house calls. Tell your neighbor, when he gets to where you are, just have your appeal process ready. Someone once wrote, have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about. My brothers and my sisters, we must have the kind of people in our company that have our best interest at heart and can with a pure heart reach Jesus on our behalf. The Bible says in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I'm so glad that the appeal will be answered. We're on our way. Thirdly, not only is Jesus anointed and listening to our appeal to take away what keeps us down, but he's able to take away our sicknesses and remove our diseases. Look at this story again. As the crowds are outside of the house, according to the text, women are asking Jesus to heal Peter's mother-in-law. Peter, standing side by side with Jesus, accompanies him into the room where his wife's mother is unable to go about her daily functions. This text speaks volumes as I see Jesus' concern about relationships of those who truly follow him. Here in the text, Peter invests in following Jesus. Therefore, Jesus invests in taking care of him. My brothers and my sisters, there is no way, shape, or form that if you and I take the time to see about the Lord's house, he will not negate where you live. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7, I'm going to yell anyhow. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I don't know about you, but when I decided to shut out the noise of the many voices and focus on the things that please God in my life, the outcome has always been positive. The text is pointed that Jesus anointing, his appeals of the saints, and the ability to perform the necessary function of healing led to the rise of this woman known only as mother-in-law. In the medical field, I am told that a doctor advises that the fever must run its course because that denotes the presence of a virus, infection, or foreign entity invading our bodies. The body's immune system begins to fight off the thing that causes us to become flatlined. Yet in this case, the scripture says that Jesus touched her and she got up and made him a meal. I just said something. In other words, she was able to go about those things that once completed her day. Saints, God is able to take what keeps us down and pick us back up again. God is able to adjust what seems to be hopeless in our life and bring us back to the place where people can't deny our value. God is able to take away the things that keep us down by removing any and all things that are crippling our relationship with others. Y'all need to go ahead and give him praise. Sometimes you and I need to take a step back in order to see that God is still in control. I wish I had some help in here. St. Paul, I saw y'all come in the house. Y'all help me preach this thing. The Bible tells us that God spoke to Moses and told Moses to take off his shoes because the place you're standing is holy ground. Sometimes we got to be stripped of stuff in order for God to work with us. Because every shoe has a sole. Every shoe has a tongue. And most shoes are still tied up and tangled up in the stuff. And God says, take it off. I want to bless you. Take it off. I'm trying to release you. Bless somebody. Be a blessing. God is able. God spoke to Joshua. Said, Joshua, put the band out front. That don't make sense, Lord. Why would I send the musicians in the praise team? They got swords. We got instruments. He said, send the musicians. And when you get out there, just walk soft. But on the last turn, y'all act like you a church and make some noise. Is there anybody here that love my Jesus? Anybody here that love my God? Is there anybody here that don't mind clapping their hands? Because God will make a way. God can turn your midnight to day. Somebody say yes. Say yes. Say yes. He's able. Be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will. God will take care of you. Can I get a witness here? I've seen some dark days. I couldn't figure out how I'm going to make it. But just in the nick of time, God woke me up in time and not into eternity. Y'all ain't hearing me. I've been down in my own life. But God came in my room and turned my midnights into day. I know I'm not the only one, but I'm so glad that I'm here in Jesus' name. So glad that I'm here with a reasonable portion of health and strength. And I don't mind giving God praise. I don't mind shouting in God's church. I don't mind. Jesus took, and unfortunately, the mat that the woman was on, watch this, it had no hands, and it had no strands. In other words, the mat didn't have her. It was the thing inside that kept her down. Question becomes, what's holding you down? What's keeping you and I back from the promises? What's keeping you back? It's not about making noise on Sunday. I've sat in the pulpits. Praise God, I've had a chance to preach around for a while now. And there ain't nothing but another chair. Because when you're going through something, it matters not where you sit. You just want some help. When you're at home with your own thoughts, and you're wondering what's next. I came down here to talk to somebody. Thank you, Reverend Jackson. I'm letting you know that it's not easy living. Matter of fact, it was that prophet by the name of Kermit the Frog that said, it's not easy being green. It's not easy, Christine, to go on when folk keep leaving your life. Parents leave. Family members leave. And you prayed that they would recover. And God chose to take them. See, I wish I could be a real preacher. I told my church last week, I said last week, and some of y'all I'm not going to like what I'm getting ready to say. I'm still going to say it. Last week, I didn't feel like being a preacher. Last week, I couldn't care. I didn't want to talk to God. Some folk will count that as sacrilegious. You ain't supposed to question God. That's a lie. I don't know who even started that lie. Yes, you can question your father. When Deacon McCall was alive, I asked him questions. That didn't stop me from being his son, nor he my father. I'm trying to help my best to free somebody up. It's a shame to come to church dressed up and bound every week. Leave church worse than you can.